To Between the Lines, listening to literature online. This is show number 142, Pachamama and Pachacuti, an earthy cosmovision. Phrases Pachamama and Pachacuti have mostly heard from Latin American countries, and that's going to be explored, what they mean and what the connections are with the rest of the world. There's different paradigms going on. You have different paradigms in Europe and the U.S. with talking about the environment and ways to do that, and these native people's, indigenous people's perspective reflected with the earthy cosmovision gives a wider and holistic view and application for what's going on. This is your host, Monk. Thank you for listening. Pachamama, along with loving the way that sounds, the information behind it is fascinating to me, and so I wanted to share or talk a little bit about a topic I don't even know much about, but what I do know about, I feel needs to be expanded and is becoming more expansive in the conversations. There's so much talk about the environment, sustainability, renewables, greenwashing, all kinds of stuff that is seemingly part and parcel of this indigenous perspective that comes from a non-linear, a non-boom and bust. So that's one of the fascinating things, and this is also part of the book I'm writing, The Musings with the Golden Sparrow, so it's loosely connected to the book as providing some solutions for world traumas, as if you listen to the specific reading from the book in a couple of few shows ago, talking about Tantra and trauma and how we experience that on an individual level. And yet the book is going to go on to expand that into how that happens on a global level. We think of, genocides and all kinds of other nasty stuff that leaves traumas, and it's generational, and the PTSDs that carry over. I had heard that even kids on the Lakota reservations that, someone, white man coming to visit, they would run away because there's still this trauma of, say, the Calvary and past memories that, that cause more effect on the moment, the present moment, than we sometimes realize. But this concept is more than a concept, so I'm just going to try to throw some words at it because it's beyond the words, and that's an ongoing theme to the Between the Lines shows, and an ongoing theme that as a writer and a human being looking to both look at how to live life fully and how to make the writing as sort of accurate to real life as possible, there's this ongoing dialogue of that, as I've read over and over, various traditions and spiritual traditions will accentuate that the map is not the place, that the words are not the experience. There's a level of direct experience that is beyond words, and yet the words can be used wisely to enhance our experiences and to invoke positive things. And as an example, the other day, going for a walk in a nature preserve, when first getting there, getting out of the SUV, the first thing, because it's on the edge of the woodsy, meadowy nature preserve, is a huge pond with ducks and geese and some swans and perhaps an egret or a heron that was flying overhead. And the first thing that struck me was just seeing the sunlight on the water and the ducks gliding through and the water moving and the because of the motion of the water, the sunlight creating these bright little like lines of bright rays. What struck me was just that there was more going on there in 15, 30 seconds worth of visuals, just more sort of experience, sensory experience, than I could even start to verbalize. So it just reminded me of that living energy, whatever you call it, that of nature, and that ties in with Pachamama, because as at first had heard the phrase, I think from the Quechua, that Pachamama was Mother Earth, but it's not that simple. And the Pacha, at least I'm looking at the couple of articles that I found online by a guy named Bob Thompson. I'm sometimes skeptical when it's not an indigenous person writing about these things, but he references a lot of indigenous people, and the information seems right on to me. So a couple of his essays, heavily footnoted, and he mentions that Pacha meaning time and space or the world. So I had read that somewhere else, that the Pachamama is not just like Mother Earth in the sense of the Earth as a solid, the solid globe that it is, but that it's actually, the phrase that stands out is cosmovision, and that it is the Mother Earth in connection with time and space and whole cosmovision, which connects with the stars and the sky and the air. So it's much broader than the simplified word. And the other phrase that I've become fond of is the Pachacuti, Pachacuti, which here he is defining the Kuti as upheaval or revolution, and that we are in a time when that can be catastrophic or renovative, renovation, So, you know, much of this, we hear the dialogue in the news about we're in this time of great change. And so the other aspect of the Pachacuti I found fascinating is what's called degrowth. Another way that I remember hearing about it is that it is has to do with it's sort of along the lines of a yin yang, that this whole model of limitless growth and that capitalism has fostered for hundreds of years and through the industrial ages, that business is run by constantly growing, growing, expanding, expanding, bigger, 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 bigger. And yet, here's this original people's indigenous perspective that is holistic and says that the earth too needs rest. So, the way one needs rest at night, the way one is rejuvenated by sleep, that also the world, the earth needs that too. So that's a whole, just barely opening up this whole can of worms, so to speak, of how to review the how to relook at the way we do stuff in the world, with the world, whatever. Some phrases that jump out reading these articles, phrases like pluralist paradigms and plurinational cosmovision. These are like big phrases that are loaded, and what they're getting at is that the world is not so culture monotheistic as much of the Western and biblical and Abrahamic religions that many of us have been indoctrinated with is that there is an interrelations and interactive interaction with all things and beings that those words are trying to convey, that plurinational, and that dialogue is beginning to be played out in economic and social and all kinds of geopolitical ways. It's becoming more of the dialogue. So that's sort of that's the bright light there. Other phrases that are jumping out, what's referred to as the vivir bien or buen vivir in Spanish, essentially live well but not better. So that living well but not better is, again, flies in the face of this whole capitalistic predatory system where rags to riches stories, where everyone has the opportunity to make it, but at the expense of others becomes the problem. And we're seeing that big time nowadays. In Quechua it's called, I don't know how you pronounce these, but we'll give it a go, sumac cause, and then other ways to say it in Aymara, which I think is the people of that Evo Morales, the president of Bolivia, is of. And the native peoples with Turtle Island say all the relations are all my relations, is another way of the pluralist, plurinational, pluralist, however you're going to call all these things. Other phrases these articles are throwing out there, eco-socialist and degrowth paradigms. He highlights that production from capitalist modes to collectivism, reciprocity, and complementarity, or how to measure gross domestic happiness or define genuine progress indicators, that these are things that are more need to be in the dialogues. An excellent little example that he gives is within the framework of living well, what matters the most is not the individual. What matters the most is the community where all the families live together. We form part of the community as the leaf forms part of the plant. Nobody says, I will just take care of myself. I don't care about my community. It is as preposterous as if the leaf were to tell the plant, I do not care about you, I will only take care of myself. So excellent, excellent image from nature to give that example. And it goes on to say, development has proven to be a failure as evidenced by the crisis of nature and the severe effects of climate change. It is now the leading cause of global crisis. Because of the exaggerated industrialization of some countries, addictive consumerism, and irresponsible exploitation of human and natural resources. Thus, living well means redesigning urban and non-urban living environments, the restitution of the local, regional, and national communal goods, and a quick transition towards renewable energy at a small scale that must be oriented to the locality and owned by the local community without hampering the natural balance and including wind, solar, small-scale hydro and wave, and local biofuels, not global agrofuels. Living well means reallocating the trillions destined for war in order to heal Mother Earth. Big exclamation point there. Reallocating the trillions destined for war in order to heal Mother Earth. Living well also means promoting an orderly reconstruction of the countryside and the revitalization of communities by way of agrarian reform, education, and application of eco-agricultural micro-farming methods based on our cultural and communal practices, the wealth of our communities, fertile land, clean air and water, clean water and air. All of these approaches are in preparation for the inevitable deindustrialization of agriculture as cheap energy supply declines. And the beginning of that section, give a little bit of explanation. Bolivia's living well proposal means living a sovereign and communal life in harmony with nature, working together for our families and for society. Sharing, singing, dancing, producing for the community. It means living a modest life that reduces our addiction to consumption and maintains a balanced production. The protection and preservation of balance in the natural world, including all its living beings, is a primary goal and need for our proposal. Mother Earth has inherent rights to exist on the earth in a undiminished healthy condition. In the words of President Evo Morales, living well means living within a community, a brotherhood, and particularly completing each other without exploiters or exploited, without people being excluded or people who exclude, without people being segregated or people who segregate. Living well is not the same as living better, because in order to live better than others, it is necessary to exploit, to embark upon serious competition, concentrating wealth in few hands. Trying to live better itself is selfish and shows apathy, individualism. It also mentions the aligning with the natural cycles and the current solar energy flows. And again, that it's a concept that is non-linear and constantly under revision. So I was thinking of the Judeo-Christian model of the earth was created in 6 days. And it just, again, that flies in the face of this, you know, how nature is ever, ever changing, ever evolving. And it's almost as if people turned off their connection with the living organic realities of everyday life because of, in a simplified way, because of that simple little, it was created and now it's time to do this and that. But another interesting thing highlighted, which I've heard about on First Voices Radio a lot, the whole thing of language, and that another reason it seems hard for Westerners to grasp some of this stuff or to really shift their paradigm is explained in the following, along with language. The phrase "to live well but not better than others or at the cost of others" is potentially confusing in English, since "well" and "better" are similar if used to denote qualitative versus quantitative meaning. Language and culture are crucial elements if we are to convince others to understand and then follow this, quote, dictum. For example, English is a language largely based on nouns. And he gives reference to one native peoples on Anishinaabe. Languages are dominated by verbs, resulting in cultures which focus respectively on objects versus process, with a resultant tendency to objectivize or integrate nature. This may in part explain the domination of the planet today by English-dominated cultures and may make the task of undoing the domination extra difficult. I found that really telling. The cultures which focus respectively on objects versus process, you know, meaning that organic, evolving interrelation of all beings. And it seems like much of the brainwash is from this noun-focused way that we are taught to think of things, and so the things become the objects to which we work for and strive for, and we at the losing touch and losing sight of the interrelation of things and living things at that. So again, the Pachacuti aspect is emphasized as a rebalancing, which can be tumultuous, but you know, it can also be the starting things, the seeds of a new sort of quote new institutions, new ways of doing things that are really old ways, but this having to blend with the modern technology with the ancient ways is part of this new paradigm. What the Latin American Andean peoples have referred to as the eagle, the prophecy of the eagle and the condor. And here's another beautiful section in this article is by Bob Thompson. One of the results of these struggles has been defined as a complex concept, nonlinear, historically developed, and constantly under revision, which identifies as goals the satisfaction of needs, the achievement of a dignified quality of life and death, to love and be loved, to the healthy flourishing of all in peace and harmony with nature, the indefinite prolongation of cultures, free time for contemplation and emancipation, and the expansion of flourishing liberties, opportunities, capacities, and potentials. Racist Western ideas, including those of some parts of the traditional left, have often portrayed indigenous cultures and their sophisticated cyclical appreciations of time and nature as, quote, turning back the clock, end quote, or even barbaric. Yet that time has clearly come when humanity and the planet, to survive, must return to a balance based on those natural cycles and on current solar energy flows in a planetary system. We have depleted some 300 million years of accumulated solar energy flows in the form of plant-based fossil fuel stocks in less than 300 years of the industrial era. Indigenous culture and the knowledge of and respect for planetary flows and cycles could be critical to our survival. This does not mean a return to the cave, as some have argued. Democratically negotiated syntheses with elements of Western knowledge and science can complement indigenous knowledge in new pluralist paradigms which stop destructive Western overconsumption and accumulation while redistributing sustainable income to the heretofore exploited global South. One of the key things I get from that is that the whole dialogue of sustainable and renewable and how that is caught up in the economies and that whole thing needs to be, the topic needs to be broadened in our discussions and thinking as to how that integrates with the current systems and structures as well as with the whole relating with nature. So it's just, it's such a huge topic that I just really wanted to touch on it to open up that ideas and sort of enhance the ways of thinking about that or even considering that in dialogues and conversations about what sometimes get, you know, sort of narrowly focused into just how to do this one particular thing in a green way, or we eat something organic, or we recycle something, or we buy a product with a recycled logo on it, and we get all excited about it, and it's like at many levels that is, you know, it's a help, but it's just a minor drop in the bucket of what's really going on. And I'm going to wrap up because as my feet were connecting with the earth, starting to soften a bit in this warmer latter half of winter, I got this subtle message to write something for Pachamama and to convey something. So this is what came out. Because not, and this will be referring in the book, the Musings with the Golden Sparrow book, this will be referring to these words. Because not everyone can read these words, there are trees. Because some of those who read will not fully understand, there are cloud beings in the blue sky. Because even the holiest of languages can only be spoken by some, there is music and laughter and an insurmountable number of rivulets winding through layers of dried, flaky, and moist, muddy soils of the Pachamama. Pachamama, more than simply Mother Earth, but a time-space cosmovision energy, or so the words this traveler has read convey. And there is light and vision and songs that suddenly well up and are sung, and songs practiced, yet no more, no less perfected. Because some, as dogs and tables made of wood, have other things to do than read these words, we are drawn to what and whom we need to work with and learn from or give learning to, and we are drawn by events and time and innuendos and things left unsaid, or too many things said, like too many cooks, but there can never be too many lovers in this brothel of living energies we finitely label life. Living energies, unceasing. He's so high, you can't get over him. He's so low, you can't get under him. He's so wide, you can't get around him. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody, when I am down or lost or on a road best not to be on. All of us taking care of ourselves, yet stretching, tauntering when we are called to help keep this sacred web, this Indra's net, this tantric loom, this sacred hoop. A little bit of quote there from Brian Eno and David Byrne song, Help Me Somebody. And the Indra's net, the tantric loom, the sacred hoop, all examples of the different cultures of the interconnectedness of all beings. And was personally just was musing about how we each of us sometimes our lives can get very, understandably and justifiably focused on taking care of ourselves and our little worlds. And then there are times when that sort of suddenly opens up and we are connecting with others, and whether someone else has an issue or a problem to help out with, or we suddenly have to, get help or reach out to somebody else. And so that openness to that is that ever mindfulness of the linking, so that we don't become, as John Trudell says in one of his amazing spoken word pieces, they're trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness. So thanks for reaching out with your ears and your hearts to listen, and have a good one. And we'll go out with a song from a CD that is called Treasure of the Incas, Andes Cosmos. And not sure if that's the name of the group, or let's see what the notes say. Here we go. All of the instruments are handmade. The quina, Q-U-E-N-A, a flute that dates back to 2000 BC, was originally made from clay and a human femur bone. The charango is a 10-string instrument similar to a small guitar. Traditionally, the charango was made from the shell of an armadillo, and the strings were made from the intestines of llamas, with double L there, the animal, the four-legged. The instrument was tuned by the church bells, the drums are made of cowhide, and the rattles are made of goat hooves. The unique instruments combined create the music of the Andes. So there's a great example of the interconnectedness of the beings, and that the music, part of the music, is literally coming from energy, from a cow or a armadillo or what have you. And just happened to see the first song on the CD is called El Echo, the Echo, and because it's spelled E-C-O in El Echo. And recently just had read the passing of the writer Umberto Eco, who's pretty much mostly well known for his book, which they made into a movie, The Name of the Rose. And as an anecdote, what the scene that stands out from that movie is when Sean Connery has found his way into a library, a stuffy library with a priest in the church, and he's searching for, I think, some books that have humor or make people laugh or something like that. And there's a line where the priest says something like, if we allow the people to laugh, then they won't be afraid of God, or something like that. But it's always stood out to me that how the power of the monotheistic religions, how there's very little humor and how that fear of humor and of laughter is literally used as a weapon to disconnect people from connecting with the world and the cosmos and all the relations. So here's the song.